We're back.
We are.
On the boat.
This is some dedication, guys, yep. If you knew the hour.
It is 12:40. This list is, we're going to name our favorite movie from each decade since 1970.
Which was a huge task.
It was a big task. It was a big task that I randomly found I was able to do pretty quickly.
I was just like
snap decisions, and then they were there.
What was the toughest?
2010s.
2010s was the toughest one. What was your?
Because I haven't had enough time to mull on it.
90s was your toughest.
2000s easy.
2000s. Yeah. See, I think 80s was probably the toughest one for me.
I like how this
one. 80s had a. I had my 2000s, 2010s. No problem.
Everything my problem. Below. I'm like was, I pick hard. Favorites. It's what I do. Like I have a list of favorite of everything. So it was pretty easy for me to like. I've had so much time to mull over it. But 2010s, they're still fresh. So still I haven't had them. Enough time to be like, yes, this is my definitive favorite movie.
We are halfway through.
The last 5 years,
though.
I know.
So, yep.
All right. Before we do that list, Kobe's gonna take the floor.
All right. I would like to ask the boat panel a few questions. Number one being, what do we think of the new Aquaman poster?
Awesome.
The sickest thing. I can actually take Aquaman seriously.
I think
now.
I screamed a little bit when I saw it.
I have not seen said poster. I'm Googling it now.
Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
I know who he is.
Okay.
Jason Momoa. When I saw that, I thought, before. I was like, okay.
I knew him from Stargate Atlantis. Thank you, Casilla. Yeah, now Daniels for your... forcing me to watch Stargate all of my life.
Flying Hawaiian.
My gosh.
Aquaman. When I saw that, I was like, okay, in Zack Snyder, I trust.
Oh,
this is going
gracious.
In the right direction.
Wait, Zack Snyder's doing it?
Yeah, Zack Snyder is...
What's his world? It's his cinematic
he's
universe.
He's basically producing... If he's not directing, he is the J.J. Abrams of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I'm okay with so far.
I am too.
I am definitely okay with it.
I just Googled Aquaman poster and I'm finding nothing.
Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Yeah, Momoa Aquaman.
That should be like the first
thing. Yeah, it should be. It should
but all I'm seeing is a joke Percy Jackson poster, so...
It is not Logan Learman. He is not the new Aquaman, I promise.
That would be interesting.
Okay.
I'm glad they got rid of the green.
Does it say Unite the Seven?
Yes.
Okay, that looks cool. Yeah, I'm definitely down with that.
Looks awesome.
It looks like it fits in his Man of Steel.
Because at first
universe.
I saw this one and I'm like, that's not it. No, I'm just going to say that's not it. All right, so go ahead with the next thing.
The next thing, I recently viewed a film 5 times in the last few days.
Just back to back.
This is the Power Rangers.
Oh,
15
okay.
Short.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
We have to discuss. I have been, like, bottling this inside because I can't talk about it to anybody.
I did. Yeah, go ahead.
Vanderbeek.
That was... Okay. I've never been a big fan of Vanderbeek because of Dawson's Creek and all that stuff. He got that bad rap. And I watched How I Met Your Mother. Loved him. Watched Varsity Blues. Loved him. Watched this. Oh, my God. He's awesome as Rocky. Like, and there's just so many cool things about this reboot or this remake, whatever you want to call it, extension.
That it's
so awesome.
You know,
have you seen it?
No,
you need.
I'll
to.
Watch it. I just.
It's like Kill Bill meets Power Rangers.
Yeah, and they are making a new Power Rangers movie.
Right,
like,
right.
But this was just the fan made. Have you ever seen Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Okay, that's Katie Sackhoff.
Mm-hmm.
The girl in it is the main girl in Battlestar Galactica.
Another favorite of Cassia Daniels.
Is seriously, if you like rated R-ish movies and have 15 minutes to kill, watch this. It's on YouTube. It's called Power/Rangers. It took me on a trip back to my childhood. But
it's starting to get taken down though.
I know they took it down, but now it's back up.
Is it okay? Good.
Which
watch awesome. It with your headphones if someone's
it is as far away from the first the original Power Rangers as you can get, but it's pretty awesome, kind of real as like how they would grow up if they were
it's totally
Power
legit.
Rangers.
It's kind of like Halo meets Power Rangers in a way.
It was very cool.
And what is the third thing?
Third thing, the movie I just got back from.
I'm sorry.
Is called.
I'm sleepy.
Kingsman.
Oh,
Secret
Zach has seen it. That Zach.
I love this movie.
Thank you.
I love this movie. And the first thing, like, when I started watching it, because it's a Marvel film, am I right?
Yeah, it is based off of comics.
Well,
Marvel comics.
And I immediately just started comparing it to Guardians of the Galaxy because it was just that fun movie. Okay. It is nowhere near the same,
yeah,
but it's fun and it's funny and it has some of the best action scenes I've seen in the last
really
two
is.
Or 3 years.
I totally think it's the answer to the new Bond movies.
Like, yes.
This is the original Bond, how it was. Over the top, goofy, the heads exploding and the musical number.
It's very over the top. It is very funny. And it is very... It has probably a 6-minute action sequence to the end of Freebird.
Oh my god.
And it is insane.
Colin Firth takes on a Kansas City church.
Colin Firth is phenomenal.
Oh, I've heard that this is the best church scene ever in movies.
It is. It is so...
I was at, like, we got up at that part. I'm like, this is a good movie. I like this movie. When I saw that, I'm like, what did I just watch? It was so awesome. And Samuel Jackson, classic Samuel.
I didn't even know
movie.
He was in this.
I did not know it was rated R until I got to the theater tonight.
Oh, you will find out quick.
It is very rated R.
So many F-bombs.
Oh, yeah. It is not... It is not a...
It's not for the family.
Not a family.
No. Nor the faint of heart. There's a lot of blood.
It's very gory, but it's very over the top, too, at the same time, which is... It was perfect. I love the way they did it.
How was Samuel L.?
He was spectacular.
So he had a list.
And he couldn't stand blood.
And he couldn't stand blood.
Yeah. So he's megalomaniac,
villain, right?
Yeah.
It's so original and fresh, and it's just, it's something you've never seen before, I don't think.
You need to watch X-Men First Class.
Which is
the same director.
Right. But it is nothing like that.
Have you seen it?
But, see, the way you're reacting is the way I reacted to First Class. I was like, this is so fresh.
He has his touch.
Yeah.
Like, right, definitely has his touch from, you can tell that it's his type of movie.
Yeah.
But it is completely different. It was so good.
It was good. I might go see it again if y'all want to go see it.
I'm going to pray
I'm
about
definitely going to see it again. I'll go watch it with you again.
It's fantastic.
I do want to see it now. I had no interest.
I did not either. What caught me was there was a Rob Zombie song in the trailer, which piqued my interest a little bit. And then I just watched it just because I wasn't watching 50 Shades of Grey. So...
And those are the only two choices unless you want to see American Sniper again.
Or SpongeBob.
Or, I've seen it three times now.
McFarland, USA.
Nah.
Nah.
I will be going to see that with my father if he hasn't seen it already.
All right. So, let's get into this list business.
Let's do it.
Zachary, I believe.
Our guest is going to start us off.
Our Mormon correspondent gets the first.
I've been hiding in the cookery for the last week.
Cookery.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Okay, so we're starting with the 70s.
That's what we cook Mormons.
How did we go about doing this? Because I had an interesting way of figuring out which my movies were.
Of what your movies were?
So, I started looking at lists of the best movies, and I was like, yeah, it's that one. There were a few of them that I had to search deeper.
I don't think I
How did you do it? I didn't look at any lists.
I had one immediately that was just obvious.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of looked at the movies that I owned.
That's
because if I love a movie, I buy it.
I have this huge shelf.
Yeah.
And they're all in alphabetical order. And what I would do is I would like pull them out, like each one from that decade, and I would just like poke them in until I got down to four. And it was a very interesting way of doing it. But it worked. I had it done in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, okay.
See, I'm not a fan of hard copies, so I had to go to lists. Like, because everything I have is digital.
I tell you, I had my... Zach was here with me. I did my list in 10 minutes. It just like... It just came to me. I was like...
But like you said, you're a list.
It was,
I'm a list. I already have these lists.
It was
in
easy, but it wasn't because you get this one and you're like, oh, I really want to put it.
Well, I'll say this. I have one tie.
Okay.
I couldn't not.
Yeah, but I know what it is, and like you just
it makes a lot.
You
sense.
Can't avoid
it's
it.
A good reason. It's
right.
a good reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
So mine isn't exactly
start
way,
from the 70s.
The 70s. Yeah. The way that I did my list is not necessarily my favorite movies because.
I did best.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily do best either. I did, in my opinion, most influential for that time.
Okay.
Like, I thought it was pretty. So number one, well, this, for the 70s, 1975, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
I love that movie.
Very solid choice.
It, Jack Nicholson, Christopher Lloyd, Danny DeVito, in an insane asylum. And it's all talking about basically showing, there's a lot of different things going on in there, but Nurse Ratched is the lady's name, and she is Ratched every little bit. I almost jumped up and screamed in joy the first time I saw this when Jack Nicholson attacks her. She's that bad.
Have you ever read the play?
I have not.
It is a thing of beautiful brilliance.
I'm sure. I've heard awesome reviews of it, but yeah. I've never had a chance to read it. But it's just a really interesting shift, I feel like, in the 70s, because you have Jaws, you have Star Wars coming out, you have Rocky, you have all these big pictures.
Yeah.
And then you have and then you have something small like Cuckoo's Nest, mm-hmm. where it talks about all these bad things happening to the mentally ill, and I think it made people rethink how they were going to start making movies, that character pieces could be done and could be done well.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah.
This is, I believe, well, off the top of my head, I think this is one of two movies that swept the major award. May be something that was on your notes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it totally did. And plus, besides that, being a huge Batman fan, you see Joker in Jack Nicholson so much in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just fun to see him be Jack Nicholson, be a young Jack Nicholson.
In all his glory. Like, I love Jack Nicholson.
Get your hands up, Chief. The big... Oh, man. So, that was my 70s.
Go ahead, John Dave.
Good choice.
My 1970s movie goes to a 1979 pick. This movie is called Kramer vs. Kramer. Kramer vs. Kramer is the story of a divorced couple. It's a couple. They go through their divorce, and it's a custody fight over their child. Which it's interesting because it's told from the perspective of the father who has custody of the child. So it's like him learning to be a dad, and learning to, in a lot of ways, like, love his child. and once he's established that, like, as a real parent, then for the custody fight to ensue with a mother who had abandoned. The movie's really interesting social commentary about the roles of parents and about, it reflects the times really well, because it's the start of the idea of, like, the career woman versus just the stay-at-home mom. But what I love about Kramer versus Kramer is it's a drama for adults. And I feel like that's something that we see. It's 79, so it's the end of the 70s. Moving into the 80s, yeah, we have dramas for adults, but they're a lot more... dramas tend to get a lot more exciting. They, you know, the teen movie, which, believe you me, I will be discussing later in this list, really starts to make a serious appearance. What we had in the 70s, it's a low-key but very realistic drama that's just real life. And that's what the 70s does beautifully, is they make movies that imitate real life. You know, Woody Allen, this time of movies like Annie Hall. And this is one of my favorite types of movies. And I think the 70s does this better than most other eras. I like sometimes movies that are just unashamedly for adults.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie does. There's nothing about it that's trying to, like,
get the teens.
It's edgy or pushy. It's just like a real
movie. A smart movie for adults.
And yeah, this was a really great time for that movie. Have any of y'all seen Kramer vs. Kramer?
I haven't seen it, no.
I have not.
Funny note about Kramer vs. Kramer. I had always heard of it, but I never knew what it was until I was in college. And I had always had this vision. It was Cosmo Kramer chasing Cosmo Kramer.
Michael
that's
Richards.
It.
Like, it was Spy versus Spy with Cosmo Kramer. And that's always the thing I had in it, but it definitely wasn't.
This also, of course, this movie also got Meryl Streep her first Oscar win for Best Supporting Actress. That being said,
and she hasn't looked back.
That being said, true story. Dustin Hoffman is it won an Oscar for this as well. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's just my favorite Dustin Hoffman in this movie.
I've got to watch it.
And it's a Best Picture winner as well.
Yeah, it's that's one of those.
It's one of the. It's a milestone.
Which is what's funny, because every one of these movies we have is going to be
milestones. They're all milestones.
Yeah.
Timeless.
In different ways.
All right, my 1970s movie is The Godfather.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm glad you picked that one.
Who saw that coming? Everybody saw that coming.
But it needed to be there.
It needed to be on there.
That's the 70s movie. I mean, like, if I had to think of that movie, it's The Godfather.
Yeah. I mean, it's considered by many to be either the best or the second best movie ever made.
Oh, yeah.
IMDb's got it ranked number two. AFI had it ranked number two behind Citizen Kane. Yeah. But it's always mentioned. It's in that pantheon of greatest American movies or greatest movies, period. But, yeah, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. This starred Marlon Brando. He won an Oscar for this.
And what is considered one of his
one of the best. Yeah.
As one of the greatest actors ever, one of his best roles.
You had Al Pacino, Diane Keaton, Robert Duvall, nominated for 11 Academy Awards. Won Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Screenplay. One thing that I did find funny in my research about this movie was that it got three nominations for Best Supporting Actor. Robert Duvall, Al Pacino, and James Caan.
James Caan.
Mm-hmm. Three for the same movie. That's crazy.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. But no, this is a very long movie. But to say the least, like it is a long movie.
It's a masterpiece.
Everyone needs to see this movie. It's a masterpiece. It's a novel. Like it is just.
Well, it literally was a novel.
Well, it wasn't. It's adapted. One of my favorite movies ever. I love The Godfather. See The Godfather.
Sure. Can't deny The Godfather. For my 70s movie, I at first had a tie with The Godfather for best 70s movie, but I figured Zach would go with Godfather. I had to give it to the film that launched probably the greatest director of all time's career, Jaws.
We got classics here.
I mean, like, that's four.
The four movies of the 70s in all the different ways.
Jaws frightened me as a child. It still frightens me as an adult.
I think that's probably the first scary movie that most people see.
I was going to tell you a weird story about Jaws. Okay, you know how I hate horror movies? I was never scared of it. I saw Jaws as a kid, and I just liked it, and I wasn't scared of it.
It's an angry-looking dolphin, Daddy.
I don't know what it is. And I have a fear of being eaten in the ocean. Like, that's a major thing. Going by shark, that's a rough way to go. But something about Jaws. It's a brilliant movie.
Think about Jaws freaked me out as a kid. I hated the beach. Man. I hated... And that opening scene, just the girl being pulled out. Woo! Oh no. I can't. To this day, it kind of sends chills down my spine. Like, I don't ever want to be
I couldn't close my eyes in the shower for a long time because of that.
Sharknado did that to me.
Yes.
Why wouldn't it?
Jaws, not so much.
What about the Anaconda?
Hurricane Cougar.
And what's funny, this movie
I think
made...
I know some Hurricane Cougars.
This movie was one of the first... I think it's the... Probably it might be the first to make an actual real animal... That isn't oversized or isn't, you know, grossly huge.
Yeah.
To be a true moving monster, and he did perfect with it. And to me, it's probably my favorite Spielberg movie.
Oh man. And just what John Williams did with two movies.
And that's what I was about to say. Created probably the most recognizable score.
I mean that and
one
Star
of,
Wars.
Top five two. Most recognizable score. Both done by the same person. Look at there.
True story. What did Jaws lose Best Picture to?
That was 1971?
74. 75.
I'm about to find out. Anyway.
It was 75?
75 or 74?
If it was 74, it was Godfather 2.
75.
Shoot, I don't know that one.
Was that Cuckoo's Nest? What year was Cuckoo's Nest?
Oh, no. Yeah. Cuckoo's Nest was 75. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Jaws was 75?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Godfather 2 won.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, 75.
Dang. Okay. That makes sense. All right. So, on to the 80s, the glorious 80s. I don't think it would be a list for me of top movies of all time if I did not include a Star Wars movie.
Thank you.
1980. May 21st, 1980. Oh, God. Empire struck back, and it struck back hard. There is a famous line, several that are repeated from this movie, and I want to clear the air as a Star Wars nerd. The line is not, Luke, I am your father.
Real quick. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest did beat Jaws for Best Picture that year.
Did it?
It was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Continue.
Awesome. I Googled 1975 yeah. Best Picture was Godfather 2. Go ahead.
Okay.
Must have been a different year. Must have been 74.
It was parallel universes.
And continue.
So.
Jaws lost in both of them.
Jaws lost all his
It's fine. He'd eat them. It'll work. The line is not, Luke, I am your father. It is, no, I am your father.
I will say, when we decided to do this list, the movie I watched last night was The Empire Strikes Back, and it was in my top four to go. But I figured you would have it, so.
The 80s are hard, too.
Oh, yeah.
These kind of movies. Nothing much to say except it did the same thing A New Hope did. It reinvented sci-fi. Technologically, it advanced the way we film movies.
Oh, yeah.
Changed everything from just taking a basic ping pong table and turning it into an entire starship. Made me want to get into movies from seeing that as a kid. And for that, I love you, Empire.
Yep. It introduced us to Yoda, Boba Fett, Lando Calrissian. I know that it's like widely, you know, it's a consensus that this is the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I think.
And it's also the darkest Star Wars movie.
It really is.
It's the Temple of Doom of Star Wars. And like, it's darker. The second one always is.
And there's no resolution, but really.
Right.
Like, Batman, it's just, same thing.
Yeah, same
Dark
thing
Knight,
with Dark Knight,
50 times.
Just, usually the second of a trilogy is the darkest.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Of the Planet of the Apes.
Wait.
So, which was also dark.
Oh yeah. So the 80s is actually not hard at all, because the best movie is obviously Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay, this is a duh. You know how I feel about this movie. The 80s is all about the teen movie. It's all about John Hughes. For me, it always will be. My favorite genre of movie is John Hughes' 80s teen movie. And the consensus, the top, the number one, the best, is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It is my feel-good movie, but also if you analyze it, there's a lot more there than you think there is. The characterization is brilliant. There is a performance by a certain Cameron Frye, well, a character named Cameron Frye.
He's the main character of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Hmm?
Have you heard that theory?
I have.
He's the only one that goes through any change.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Oh, no, 100%. Cameron is my favorite part of the movie, and it is. It's his story. Ferris is like a conduit to his story.
What about how Ferris doesn't actually exist?
Oh, yeah.
He's actually just a figment.
Okay, John Cameron Hughes isn't that deep. John Hughes and I have similar brains, and we wouldn't do that, so that's not true. Zach Bell, sometimes I feel as though I was Cameron Frye and you were Ferris Bueller when we
were
in high school.
That is our relationship.
That is. Zach would be like, let's go do stupid things. And I'm like, no, that sounds like a bad idea. And he's like, no, do it. And there we went. So, Ferris Bueller, it represents everything for me. It's one of my favorite movies on the planet, as we all know. I'm going to shut up. What's
the
80s movie?
I'm shocked at that pick.
I know.
I am just appalled.
I wanted to pick something else because I've talked about it, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It wouldn't have been.
Everyone would have been like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Okay, 1980s for me is a little movie called Blade Runner. Now, this is the quintessential sci-fi movie. I had not seen this movie until pretty recently.
Kobe and I still have never seen it.
I'm not going to say a whole lot about it
please don't.
You two have not seen it.
I'm desperate to see it.
But you,
really,
you need to see this movie. I've watched it 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot to this movie. Good. There's a lot to grab onto. You can definitely tell that this movie influenced Christopher Nolan.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Yeah. This was made by Ridley Scott, starring Harrison Ford. But no, it is widely considered to be the best sci-fi movie.
Oh yeah.
And I think that I agree with it, even though I had a different movie on our sci-fi episode. I had not seen Blade Runner at the time. So, my 1980s movie, Blade Runner.
So, we're going to go from George Lucas, which he was the director, but he was behind it.
Yeah.
John Hughes, Ridley Scott, to Stanley Kubrick.
Yes!
My 1984 movie is...
The Shining.
Almost.
Good man.
I knew you were going to call
it. That was my top three.
The Shining. Yeah. Definitely. The Shining. I don't even know what I can say about this movie that hasn't already been said.
Here's Johnny.
That's Jack Nicholson's second appearance in our in our countdown.
Not his last, because I have the bucket list.
Spoiler alert, John David. Jeez.
This is the prequel to the bucket list. That is the spoiler alert.
As good as it gets. Okay.
One of the weirdest and critically acclaimed directors of our time, not our time, but
of all time,
took one of Stephen King's bleakest, darkest, just starkest stories and put his little twist on it. And
little twist?
Just a touch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Stephen King was not a fan of this.
I know he wasn't, and I understand, but I mean, it was.
But everybody else seems to be.
Yeah, it was like he took what little bit Stephen gave him and made his own thing, and now we have two Shinings to love. I like that fact that it wasn't the same, but it
it is funny.
It was an interpretation. Yeah,
you can walk down the same street and have either pizza or Chinese.
There's just so much cool stuff about that. It is one of the most influential.
Oh yeah,
movies
for sure.
Let's put it this way. I've never seen The Shining, and I still know, like, every scene
Johnny,
from it.
Little twin girls creep me out.
Oh, my God. The elevator blood. Yeah,
Point of view tricycle rides.
Yeah.
Red rum.
Red rum. Oh. You know, the kids didn't know that they were in a horror movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did they pull that off?
I don't know, but they did it. There was a whole interview with Kubrick about it. And he was like,
Red Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You gotta go swimming. oh my gosh.
Okay, so we're all fans of, besides John David, of The Shining. Have either of you seen the documentary Room 237?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix Instant. Look it up. It is a movie all about The Shining, a documentary all about The Shining, except it's about the conspiracy theories as to what The Shining actually means, like what Kubrick was trying to say with
it. Is this like the faked Apollo landing?
Yes.
Idea?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, there's like 15 minutes of this documentary that people say that this was Kubrick telling the world that he was behind the Apollo land, like
that he was
fake.
The director.
Yeah,
that's
it centers a lot around the little boy, like his sweater.
Well, he's wearing an Apollo shirt, and then like it's
all in detail. We can't.
No, exactly. But no, there's like 30 minutes of how Kubrick hated Stephen King, and so at one point you see a red VW bug that was mentioned in the novel that's just smashed on the road, and that's his way of saying like, your novel's crap, I'm gonna do it. It's crazy stuff, but if you like The Shining, it's a really fun movie. I love that documentary.
Okay, so '90s, moving into the grunge rock of the '90s. This movie was an answer to the '70s, The Godfather. Yes. This,
I know what this is.
This gave us Mr. De Niro back.
Mr. De Niro.
After Taxi Driver. In my opinion, this is his next big jump as an actor. This is Goodfellas.
God, I love this movie.
One of the most...
Another movie I've never seen.
Quintessential... If you have, if you've seen Godfather and you haven't seen this movie, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
It's almost the... It's like Godfather 0.5.
Yeah. It's Godfather of the 90s. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It talks so much about family and loyalty and this difficulty between the mafia, obviously, and the law and kind of that gray line. But just... I can't remember his name now. It's the short guy. Starts with a J.
Joe Pesci
was what we considered a tough guy in the 90s. Oh, now, you would laugh. But there was a little show called Animaniacs.
Yes.
And they had these cartoon characters on this show, Warner Brothers did, called Good Feathers. And these Good Feathers were these pigeons that were a parody of Goodfellas. This was like 10 years after the fact in a kid's show. That's the kind of effect Goodfellas had on the 90s. Uh-huh. It permeated everything. So besides, I mean, and it's Scorsese... De Niro teaming up.
Scorsese. So. Mentioning Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro, it gave us our token gangster movie actor, Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Well, Liotta's kind of the star of, like...
Right.
Yeah, oh, the whole thing. Yeah.
And he's awesome. I love Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Well... You notice I didn't have much to say about gangster movies because I haven't seen that many of them. But this is a movie I've seen a bunch of times.
Because you live them.
It's called The Truman Show. Hmm? Truman Show is one of my favorite movies in the entire world.
Hey.
Now, this is a movie... Okay, let's put it this way. This is a movie that is not realism. And if you're going to do a movie that has a gimmick to it, that take like this is what you do. This is how you do it. Because I think that if you're working outside of the realm in realism, there's kind of an automatic commentary that goes to what you're doing. Like, if you're taking liberties with real life and society, like, you have an added layer. I think this makes sense in my mind. I don't know if it makes sense when it's coming out. The point is, The Truman Show has such a statement to make, and it just makes it, but then doesn't give you the answer to it. That sounded confusing.
Well, it was so ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Like, because this was before reality TV was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's sad is I'm like, didn't we all watch The Truman Show exactly. And say that this is a bad idea in general? Oh, never mind.
And we're starting to see the results, like, mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
Of the stars that we've created from reality television and how their lives are now in shambles because
they didn't
the star power that we gave them.
Yeah. Yep.
It's also, I would not consider myself a Jim Carrey fan in the way that like Colby would consider himself.
I'm not a Jim Carrey fan.
No, not at all.
I hate him.
More of a Jim Parsons fan.
Oh God.
Gosh. No, that being said, Jim Carrey is a brilliant actor. Yeah. The reason I'm not always Jim Carrey fan is because, like, I feel like he can't always pick them. But this movie, like, he deserved not only a nomination, but a win. I don't know who won. This was 98. I don't know who won, but this is the most brilliant movies I've ever seen. And it's a favorite. Ed Helms. Ed Helms. Oh, my gosh.
Ed Harris.
Yeah. Got an Oscar nomination. Not saying he didn't deserve it. I'm like, really? He got one and
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, and not Carrie. That's
stupid. It's like he has, like, one monologue at the end. It's good.
Did I watch this? Or did you
I watched
this?
Your oh, copy of
Jack
this.
Nicholson.
And we might have watched
was this
it together.
Your, yeah, no. Was that the first time you'd seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was my first night. Living in Pensacola, like that was
yeah.
the night that I moved in.
Yeah, and we celebrated by introducing me to The Truman Show.
Yes.
And it's been, it rocked my world. Like, it was a game changer.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, also, if you're going to do social commentary, be entertaining.
Yes.
Thank you, Truman Show.
Also,
thank you.
Filmed about 30 minutes down the road from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it makes you feel worse, it was Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets for best actor that year.
Hooray. I like Jack Nicholson, don't get me wrong, but for that movie. Whatever. Okay, go ahead, Zach.
Zach, what is your obvious choice?
All right, for the 1990s.
Can I guess?
My choice came out Toy Story. In 1999.
I feel like there's going to be a color and a distance involved somehow.
It is The Red Inch. The Blue Centimeter. No, it's The Green Mile. There's nothing for me to say. If you've been around me for any extended period of time, like I'm talking an hour or so, I've told you that The Green Mile is my favorite movie.
He will try to show you the movie that amount of time.
I will. Well,
he's tried to show me the movie 12 times, and the problem is that it's so long.
It is long. It is long. John David has not seen it.
Michael Clark Duncan, though. Good gracious, Michael Clark.
Fantastic. And you know, well, the cast in this is really good. You had Tom Hanks, Michael Clark Duncan.
Tom Hanks was in that?
I'm kidding.
My favorite of all of them.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
I like Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
I like Sam Rockwell a lot.
I think this might have been his first movie.
It was one of them.
He would have been young in 99.
No, he was. It's Wild Bill. And it was
he was so awesome.
Really, really good. But no, there were two characters from this movie that will forever stick with me for reasons I don't know. And they were Sam Rockwell as Wild Bill. Mm-hmm. And then you had Doug Hutchison, who played Percy Wetmore.
Percy Wetmore.
Oh my gosh.
Percy Wetmore is my most hated movie villain ever.
I hate him.
But no.
Percy Wetmore.
1990s, The Green Mile, my favorite movie of all time. Colby.
My 90s pick. Let me get to what beat my 90s pick out of my top four. Silence of the Lambs did not beat it. Sling Blade did not beat it.
Ooh.
The Usual Suspects did not beat it.
Ooh.
I had Usual Suspects paid for you.
I was gonna make the call. If I gotta be the guy to represent another Tom Hanks movie, I'm gonna be that guy. It's Forrest Gump.
It's classical.
Classic. Okay, and I know I'm not even going to talk that much about Forrest Gump, but yeah. I do know but that
it's,
Zach and I have agreed that 1994 is the best year of movies ever. I'd like to read to you some of those movies. Pulp Fiction,
mm-hmm.
The Lion King, Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. Dumb and Dumber, Four Weddings and a Funeral, The Mask, Interview with a Vampire, Speed, Leon the Professional, Ace Ventura, True Lies, Legends of the Fall, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Ed Wood, The Crow, The Little Rascals, The Flintstones, Clear and Present Danger, D2, The Mighty Ducks, Natural Born Killers, The Santa Claus.
That's Forks, my favorite.
I could go on and on and on. And that is the best movie of that year and the best movie of the 90s, to me, in my opinion.
I mean, I can't argue with you.
I know
Zach's. I can't about Shawshank. Come on. I won over Shawshank.
I had him pegged for Shawshank.
You didn't think I was going to put Green Mile?
You seem to be a Shawshanker over a Green Mile.
No, Green Mile is my favorite movie of all time, but I feel like less people have seen Shawshank, so that's the one I push more.
Okay.
But
When we sat down, I was going to go with The Usual Suspects, but I did go with Forrest Gump. If you haven't seen Forrest Gump, watch it. That's it.
Go to TBS right now
and watch it. It's on.
I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
I know, because I have a friend who just saw it for the first time the other day. A 22-year-old man who had never seen Forrest Gump.
Aaron. He hated it.
No, he loved it. He was like, Forrest Gump is the best movie. He was like, Forrest Gump is the best movie of all time. I was like, yeah, it's Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I said
no,
the same
I'd
thing
never seen it before.
When I watched it in fourth grade. All
right.
Who hasn't seen Forrest Gump? Are there people who have, or no, that's not what, who has watched Forrest Gump and not liked it is what I want to know. I don't think that
the most
exists.
Pretentious people. On
like
planet.
Robots?
Yeah.
When they watched it the first time, they liked it. They're lying if they've said
yeah.
they...
I think only people who don't like it are North Koreans.
Vietnamese.
Simple Jack.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Zach.
New millennium. This marked the beginning of the 2000s. And probably the only movie I've actually liked Russell Crowe in, Gladiator, is my pick for the best movie of the 2000s. It has one of the most unexpected, in my opinion, very spiritual quotes in the middle of a hectic battle. Maximus goes and he says, "What we do here echoes in eternity." And as a kid, that always stuck with me.
Yeah.
I always thought, oh, crap, I'm going to have to account for this. But besides that, Hans Zimmer comes in and he lays down a serious track that'll put you to sleep and then wake you up in the next split second.
As he tends to do.
Yeah. It's okay, go to sleep.
What other score has he done?
Never heard of anything else.
He's a new and up-and-coming guy.
Yeah. Is he like one of those like pop stars who
he's
then
like
also
a,
did
well,
like
a one-hit wonder
yeah.
movie score?
He came and
did
gone.
He do Bad Day?
Yeah. Daniel Powder.
Okay.
So Gladiator 2000.
My 2000s is it's a kind of an obvious pick for me, but it's not one that I would have even thought at the beginning I was going to pick. That is a little Hayao Miyazaki movie called Spirited Away. Here's the thing. Okay, in the 2000s, I wanted to pick a cartoon because the 2000s, we saw the birth of like a cartoon that also works as a drama. Like, even if it's funny, it really, really appeals to adults, and not because they're reliving the wonder of their childhood.
It was an acceptable medium again.
Yeah.
Well, and because of, Zach brought this up earlier, Shrek. That changed things. And then Pixar just decided, like, we're going to own the world. We're going to make the best movies in the world. And they started doing it. But a huge way that started was 2001 saw Spirited Away. Spirited Away is... It's high for my favorite Miyazaki movie with Howl's Moving Castle. But I'll say that it's the best Miyazaki movie. It's his magnum opus. It's a perfect film. It is one of the most beautiful films. It is a deeply spiritual film. Even though it's rooted in, like, Japanese spirituality, you can just read so, so much into it in so many ways. And it's a film about a child that is not necessarily a children's movie, but is also not pulling a Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, my gosh.
but actually, in ways, it's not that distant from Pan's Labyrinth at the same time. Anyway, the
I
point
like
is,
I really like Pain's Labyrinth.
I like when I've seen Pain's Labyrinth. I haven't seen the whole
out,
thing.
Man.
Okay, Spirited Away is such a brilliant movie. I recommend everyone go watch Miyazaki movies. Go do it right now. If you haven't, do it now. I am not the biggest anime person in the world. I'm interested in it, but I'm like, this is too much. Why are all of your characters always overreacting? Children don't cry every time someone says something to them. But Spirited Away, this is on a different plane from any other Japanese movie or TV show or anything. Go watch
Don't
it
expect
right now.
A normal cartoon.
No. Also, remember that Japanese storytelling is different than American storytelling.
Correct.
It's like, it follows different patterns.
Different than me?
It's not as concerned with the huge, enormous climax that leads
it's
down to the inevitable conclusion.
Yeah.
It's different, but it's so interesting. Oh, and also, Hayao Miyazaki is the director, number one, who inspired John Lasseter behind all Pixar movies. So you have this film. to say for Pixar. Kind of.
Word.
All right.
I was looking through his filmography.
Miyazaki?
And, yeah, and I think probably the first one I'm going to start with is, because I was looking at this because of the Power Rangers movie, his first Sky Castle movie with Van Der Beek that was in 81.
Castle in the Sky is a beautiful movie.
I knew it absolutely had, I just saw that Castle it had Van Der Beek in it. I was like, okay, I'll give that one a try first.
It's brilliant.
All right, my movie from the 2000s. I think I'm about to throw a little bit of a curveball at Colby.
Well, please do, because my oh, there's just...
You're not going to...
We're not going to cross over.
No, we won't cross over on this one. I
know we're not. I set it up
that way. And the reason that we won't is because you have not seen this movie. In fact, John David has also not seen this movie, and I don't know about Zach, but when he gets back, I will ask him.
Shrek 4.
This is a little movie about greed, family, religion, oil,
oh, and blood. Gosh.
There will be blood.
Have you seen it?
Yes. One of the most amazing. It was a close. It was in my top three.
Yeah. Neither of them have seen it. And so
I've seen the first 30 minutes.
What I'll tell you is,
which were silent, correct?
Essentially, yes.
It is the masterpiece that came out of the 2000s, in my opinion.
It's a ride. The entire movie is...
But it's also a throwback to just... It's a movie that could have come out in any era, almost. It's going to be timeless in that way.
It almost felt like a modern Western in the fact of, like...
It was Paul Thomas Anderson thinking he was making a Western.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, he... Paul Thomas Anderson, as we've discussed before, is one of my favorite directors... And one of the most original directors that we have working today.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Yes, you have.
Or have I? Master?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We watched The Master in theaters.
Have I seen a Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
You have not, I do not think. Have you seen... I think that Magnolia might be the Punch Drunk Love. Have you watched Punch Drunk? Nope. You've not seen a Paul Thomas Anderson movie then.
It would be a hit or miss for you.
There Will Be Blood lost the Oscar to No Country for Old Men, which is a great movie to me.
No, it's not.
I'm okay with that loss. It was an acceptable one.
It wasn't egregious.
Yeah. Wasn't like it lost to Revenge of the Sith or something.
Yeah. No.
We would be done with movies.
Oh, I would die.
I haven't seen There Will Be Blood, but we would be done with movies. Mm.
No, this... Yeah, There Will Be Blood is... It took... The first time I saw it, I didn't quite know what I watched.
Me neither.
But then I watched it again, and then I watched it... I think I've probably seen this movie like 10 times, and it's in my top 10 of all time. I love There Will Be Blood, and I think that it is going to be the Citizen Kane. I seriously do. I know that that's a bold statement, but like it is going to be...
It's a bold statement, but it is...
By the way, have any of us seen Citizen Kane?
I have seen...
No.
It's on my Netflix.
I haven't seen the first
list.
Half.
Can we sit down as a group and watch Citizen Kane?
I think we need to. No, it's a classic.
Yeah. Okay, I'm cool with that. When it comes in, I've got the DVD subscription too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes in, do you want me just to like hit y'all up?
Yeah.
Because I can keep it for as long as I want
just
to.
We'll come here and watch it. All right, go, okay. Colby.
I hate to be the bearer of obvious choices, but
yeah,
I can't be serious.
Yeah.
Also, like the Joker. Mine is The Dark Knight. This
Good.
Is my second.
I'm very happy.
This is my second favorite movie of all time. Maybe first on a good day. It's Christopher Nolan's masterpiece to me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's his best.
That's his best.
With Inception,
I mean,
being
and it took
Memento.
What I like about this movie, especially, is it.
I love it.
It took a Batman story with characters I wasn't sure of at first, like Christian Bale. And I mean, and in Batman Begins, I was not the biggest, like, I was like, why did we kind of go with Christian Bale? But I was young and I was stupid. And also Aaron Eckhart, I wasn't like his biggest fan. I was a big fan of Heath Ledger from A Knight's Tale, but that was it.
Yeah. Like, he was just coming off of Brokeback.
Everybody was hating him.
Were writing Ben Affleck Batman level, but
times
worse.
Times 10. It was very controversial when the news came out that he was playing the Joker.
And then the movie shows up and everybody's like, okay, I was wrong.
Who could be the Joker, but Heath Ledger now.
He was undeniably one of the best performances I've ever witnessed. And
it's just amazing. So much so that it killed him.
Really it did.
Yeah.
And particularly the plot and the story of this whole movie was one of those perfect. It was long. It had its political thriller moments. It had its action moments. It had its, did I really just see what I just saw moments?
Like when the semi trailer is flipped.
And every movie I see is copying that now. Terminator Genesis, the trailer shows a bus just flying through the air, and Christopher Nolan did that first.
Well, what he did, he took something fantastical like a comic book hero and he grounded it in realism. Love Tim Burton's 1989 Batman, no one has had done that at all. Christopher Nolan reimagined something that had been around for 75 years.
And gave it, didn't just give it a fresh coat of paint, like built it a new car. Literally.
Oh, yeah. This is a man who doesn't have a phone or an email account. Or cell phone or an email account.
For real?
He's cut off. He writes letters to people. No, I don't know if he does that, but I do. I love that.
He's actually a Mormon missionary. Yeah. He goes around.
You
can't tell.
His next project is called Saints and Soldiers.
Yeah. Oh, he really appreciates that reference.
That's the most inside joke.
Someone's watched it.
I have watched it.
Yeah.
Please, I've seen both single wards, okay?
Okay.
Zach tried to make me watch some dumb musical one time. I'm sorry, that was not good.
No, it was terrible. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so The Dark Knight. It was an okay movie. I liked it.
It'll pass.
Never heard of it.
Funny side note, there's never been... Nolan wasn't working from any kind of comic... Like, yes, Batman's in comics, but there was no story.
Right.
Like,
yeah. He didn't base it on any existing comic.
Batman,
it was loosely based on The Long Halloween, wasn't it?
Loosely is the key word.
Very loosely.
Okay. The fact that he was Batman.
And that there was a Joker.
That's when you look at The Dark Knight Rises being based off Nightfall. You can see there's a tangible.
Okay. Is Rachel a real character? She is not. No. She was made up for the movie.
I feel like that was a bad choice. No, I'm kidding. Well, no, I'm not. I don't like Rachel.
There was a whole thing. there was a whole thing. He changed. I am not a fan of the third one, but we're not talking about third one. We're talking about Dark Knight. Awesome movie. Okay.
It was an awesome movie.
So, now we have reached the conclusion. 2010s. We're only halfway through, but it's already been an amazing year.
It's been a good time. And a bad time.
Four full years have been
good and bad.
Yeah,
but there have been
enough good to outweigh the bad.
Yes. Oh yeah,
and it even makes the good. Yeah. It makes the good better that we've seen a couple crap floppers go on.
Yes,
I will say the 2010s is the best year for trailers for me.
Oh yes.
Trailers get better and better when the movies.
Oh yeah,
I'll say this: 2010s to me are shaping up to be better than the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. I think part of that is
We'll see.
I think the technology is finally starting to catch up to the writing and the writing to the technology. Like, they're meeting in a way that one's not trying to outdo the other.
It's like in order to warrant use of
Godzilla
this... But it's like in order to warrant the use of this amazing technology... Like, we have to have an amazing movie to go with it. Like,
right.
So, if we're going to spend this much money, let's get our best writers. Let's come up with new ideas to do
it. Yeah, doing that, too, but they're also kind of...
Oh, I mean, we also get Transformers 4.
Yeah. Mm.
Afterbirth.
I don't want to see that either. Okay, so what's your number one?
So, in that same vein, my number one for 2010s is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Specifically for Mr. Serkis, Mr. Andy Serkis, and his work with motion capture. Everything, if you see that movie, you have to understand that there's a difference between CGI and motion capture. Motion capture, they have little beads all over Andy Serkis' face, and every eyebrow raise, any facial expression he makes, any body movement he makes, that is him. They just put ape fur over him.
He is essentially wearing a costume.
Basically.
If you think about it.
So, the fact that we can go in with this type of technology and have a man be a monkey and it be moving? What are we going to do next?
See, I don't like it. I wish they would use real monkeys.
Just teach them how to talk and do sign language.
That's what I want.
We can use those flying monkeys that retired from Wizard of Oz. Hmm. They're kind of old now.
Yeah, let's say they're like 85 years old. So,
well, but they're magical, so they're still in good shape.
The 2001 one had Michael Clark Duncan as a large gorilla.
And Helena Bonham Carter.
That's right.
Who made out with Mark Wahlberg.
In a monkey suit. She was in the monkey suit.
Oh, I know.
Anyway. All right.
The weirdest ending. That movie.
I didn't finish it.
Okay.
It's stupid.
It was garbage.
Oh, anyway, one last point about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Toby Kebbell. He is the one that did motion capture beside Andy Serkis. He was Koba.
Oh, my God.
The bad.
I hated that.
He was the best villain of last year.
He was amazing.
Ooh, oh, my God. I did not like that. I mean, I loved it, but I also did not like it at all.
So he is going to be playing Victor Von Doom in the upcoming Fantastic Four movie.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Which has a trailer that looks like Inception, by the way.
Inception meets Interstellar.
That's what I meant to say, Interstellar.
It played for the Kingsman tonight, and it...
I'm waiting to see it organically in theaters.
Miles Teller.
Yeah, no, I know the cast and like Michael B. Jordan
and Kate Mara from Game of Cards.
House of Cards. Game of Cards.
Jamie Bell, who I love. It's like a perfect
the most
cast
show of all time.
Oh my gosh.
Game of Cards.
Hit me. He got a great House of Thrones.
Oh my gosh. It's just a toilet store.
All right.
But anyway, with Toby Kebbell, the fact that there are more actors coming out that can do this motion capture very well, I think is a show of the evolution of movies and where we're going. I think we're going to see more stuff like this coming out.
I hope, because it was awesome.
I need to make a brief note. He mentioned Andy Serkis, which makes me, I'm morally obligated to tell you that my actual favorite movie of the 2000s is Lord of the Rings, but like, I'm not even going there.
I was expecting one of the autocrats.
It's so obvious that... I want to talk about something else for the sake of the cartoons, but you all know, just to get that out there. All right, my 2010s, I have a tie, because there are two movies that are equally deserving of this spot.
I have one.
And they are, for me, they're Zero Dark Thirty and The Social Network. So
I thought you were joking for the first half of that one.
That's Zero Dark Thirty?
I really
You
did.
Know how much I love Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
That was
remember,
his number one.
Freaked out a whole bunch.
2012, you don't remember that?
I do now.
Okay. And the thing with Zero Dark Thirty is the further I get away from it, the more I really appreciate this movie. Because what it did is it changed the face of a war movie. It kind of showed us what a real war is like, and like we know what it's like for the soldiers on the ground. We know. We've seen it. And that's important, too. Like, well, I think American Sniper is an important movie, but it's important in a different way than Zero Dark Thirty, because it shows us which I know American Sniper does, too, but it shows us, like, making the decision that is difficult but necessary. Zach Bell and I were talking about this earlier, Mormon Zach. The thing that's so interesting to me about Zero Dark Thirty, and what I thought really kind of changed how we tell stories, and this is getting even more so in the 2000s, I think, is I felt like it was a movie that didn't take a side. Now, that's been really argued, but liberals have identified this movie, conservatives have identified with this movie, and I'm like, you're both able to, because it presented the facts and said, you get to make up your mind, like, and of course talking primarily about the idea of torture. Like, is the torture right or is it wrong? Did it help us accomplish this? Maybe. At what cost? And so that's where the different sides gets to weigh in, and that's why I think the movie is so important. It presents a story and said, like, now you decide. Or I guess it didn't even say that. It just says, here's the story, and we, of course, will. We will project ourselves onto it. It's just so brilliant.
The last, now, last hour is especially brilliant. That was my...
The last hour is, like, one of the most tense moments. Oh, my gosh.
If it didn't have that, I would have come away not liking it. But with that... It's I have to watch that movie with the lights movie. On. Such a good... Oh. That was so good.
I'll tell you, which, again, as referenced by my love for Boyhood, I like a slow movie. I like a slow burn. I like you to give me tiny little pieces at a time. That's why I liked Mad Men so much.
It's slow until the last hour.
Oh, it's really slow until the last hour. My second is Social Network, a movie that's also a little bit of a slow burn in ways. Not as much as Zero Dark Thirty. Here's the deal with Social Network, why it's important. Because it's like Boyhood, it's telling the story of us. Like, it's the movie that's... It's so interesting to me about this movie is Facebook and social media in general has been the cause of so much turmoil and strife. And I would say has done more harm than good. I absolutely would say that. And I think this movie shows that even the creation of Facebook maybe did more harm than good.
Yeah.
I mean, it made some billionaires, but it sure ruined some people's lives along the way. It shows what it takes. Like Zero Dark Thirty, it shows, like, ruthlessness. It's a success story that is a very American success story, but it's not golden. It's maybe more blue and black than gold and white. So, anyway. Yeah, those are my two picks. They're two of my favorite movies.
I definitely knew you were going to reference
just
that.
Just ever. The night was over. And anyway. By the way, Colby, what color is the dress?
It's whatever color you want it to be.
But what color did you see?
I saw both.
I saw.
How do you see blue and black?
It's just white
it's
and gold.
It's not there.
It's just white and gold.
I took a complete eye anatomy class. I get it.
I get it, yeah. But it's white and gold.
Oh, my God. This is like the worst class of all time. I just can't see myself taking that class.
All right, Zach. 2010.
He didn't get the drum bass quote or the drum bass reference joke.
I did get this one for the record. I understood it.
He's not too mute.
He was like, joking about that? Glaucoma. Everybody. I was making a joke about glaucoma. I just can't see myself.
Go ahead.
The pen is 2010s. Best movie of the 2010s so far, in my opinion, is one that will come to no surprise to people who listen to this podcast, because it is another one that I have really championed, and that movie is Mud. Mm-hmm. Indie, Southern...
McConaughey.
Indie, Southern... McConaughey.
Three Flowers. Words that always go together.
Mud.
This movie was when the critics started picking up on the McConaissance.
Yeah. Well, I think
the McConaissance start picking on up on himself.
The one that weirdly enough started the McConaissance was Magic Mike, which is just...
Well, no, actually, I think Lincoln Lawyer.
Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't like a...
No.
It was a transition.
But it was just like okay, Matthew McConaughey's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Good
oh,
Hunter.
He's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had
I thought most of the praise from Lincoln Lawyer did go to Trace Adkins, but...
he is the actor of our
mine
time.
Mine did.
It was funny, but Mud, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's
kind of a perfect movie.
It is just
not,
in my opinion.
There's not a missed note. You might not love it, But it's like a perfectly
well, no, for the movie that it there's could no have fat been, on it. No, and the movie that it could have been, the movie that they set out to make, they executed it to perfection. To me, it's another one like There Will Be Blood or The Godfather that plays like a novel, like a Mark Twain novel. It just
it is a modern Mark Twain novel.
It is perfection to me. It captures life in a small town better than Boyhood did. I'm just messing with John David
different,
at this point.
Different small town people. Different small town.
But no, I do think this is the best movie that has come out in the 2010s. There were other movies that I really, really considered going with instead just because they were bigger and had more of a cultural impact.
I mean, before he told me much earlier, I was like, well, Zach will pick Argo.
Yeah. I thought about Argo. I really, and that's not the only movie from 2012 that I considered. But Mud's the one I went with. So, Mud. Now on Netflix, instant streaming.
Watch it.
Do watch it. Mud.
Do it now.
Do it.
Every family can watch Mud.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. A lot of families can watch Mud.
Okay.
There's some S words, and that's as bad as it gets.
Well,
it's been kind of dark.
That's too. That's
but there's
too much
not.
For me.
There's not blood. There's not.
No,
I can't take.
For most modern, I forget. I was raised by the Cleavers, so go ahead. In a good way, I love you, and I'm happy, Cleavers, that you raised me as such.
The Cleavers.
This one's interesting.
My number one. It stars Marion Cotillard.
Who would have?
Love you and Nurse?
Leonardo.
That was 2007. DiCaprio.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What would it be then?
Ellen Page.
Juno.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
500 Days
Ken
of Summer.
Ken Watanabe.
The upcoming Broadway revival of The King and I.
Cillian Murphy. Tom Berenger. Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Lucas Haas. And Tom Hardy. Directed and written by Christopher Nolan.
The Avengers.
There was this movie.
Valentine's Day.
It's called Inception. It's a movie. It didn't get a lot of praise.
We haven't talked about it ever before on here, have we?
I mean, I would be surprised if anybody
what's
has
sad
ever
is,
seen it.
Like, we haven't devoted that much specific time to it, but I think it's also come up in every single episode of The Boat in some way or another.
We haven't. Okay.
It's been on one of my lists.
Sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have a question. Is Mud your true pick?
Yes. It is. I love Inception in a different way.
Okay.
Colby's,
I don't agree with you.
I know. Okay. Like,
Colby's taking time to process this.
I get it.
He's reading in his friendship with Zach.
Inception was probably my third choice for this pick.
Okay. Grand scheme of things, top movies, which one do you pick?
Favorite movies?
Like, of all time, favorite movies.
Favorite. Okay.
I think you
are we talking for the list? What movies?
You're making your top 100 of all time. Which one's higher?
I
think it's Mud.
They, depending on the day, are in the 4-5 slot. Could be flipped either way.
Okay.
Because Mud is like Forrest Gump to me. Like, it's just... It's going to be a timeless one.
Okay.
McConaughey is Gump. Oh, my gosh.
Worst and best movie.
Way different.
Mom always says, stupid is as stupid does.
You got to eat that. Yeah. All right. Lieutenant Dan. Stupid ice cream. Okay. No, I get it. Inception was considered, and there's only
What would have been the other one considered?
I was gonna save it. Do we want to each kind of give
honorable mentions?
Yeah, honorable mentions. Just one other one that you consider from each decade without going into it. Just name the movie.
Like that.
Okay,
just,
because I had something I wanted to discuss.
So mine's Inception.
Yeah, obviously. That also helped. Knowing you had that took a burden off.
Right.
I would have felt really bad about leaving.
And I knew. If you would have said it, I would have piggybacked on you and just said another one. But for two reasons. This is my number one movie of all time. ever, period. It's my favorite movie.
Whoa.
Reason number two, I know of at least three occasions we have talked about this movie at least for 3 hours. Wait, not on mic, but yeah, we've talked about this. We've discussed this movie through and through.
Two of them happened organically.
Two of them were organic. One was actually constructed.
Yeah.
We decided, hey, we're going to sit down and talk about this
movie. We had the great Inception debate of 2011. 2010.
We still know nothing more.
So I have a very simple question for you.
Okay.
It should be very quick of an answer.
It's not.
I know what you're about to say.
I know what it is,
too. Is he awake?
Which is reason number three why this is the best movie of the 2000s. Conversation starter.
Yeah.
So how about that spinning top?
How did Inception end? Did top fall?
Smart move. Like, this is why I love Christopher Nolan, because he makes great popcorn movies that also are smart. And so it gives your brain a workout.
Which is
nice compared to the crap that is normally
Michael Bay.
Like, there's some substance there, which is nice, and just an exercise of the brain.
Oh, there's substance in crap, so.
Well,
crap is a substance.
Reason number four.
True.
I saw this movie with our co-boater twice in theaters, and I remember we went in the first time after seeing Shutter Island in February of that year, and we were like, Leonardo DiCaprio is a pretty good actor. Like, this guy's good. Like, I'm sorry we gave you all that crap about Titanic. You're pretty good. And then we go into Inception. Not really. It looked like a good sci-fi film.
No, we had talked about it, but it wasn't it wasn't like an Interstellar situation.
No, it wasn't a midnight. It wasn't a first showing. It was opening weekend, but it wasn't.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
I came back from youth conference.
Yeah.
And then we went and watched it. I swear.
Yeah. That was a Mormon youth conference. So many Mormon.
That was good.
So little Kool-Aid left.
So yeah,
but no, we were like, to Inception is the same way that we were kind of like with Zero Dark Thirty. Like, we had talked about, this looks like it's gonna be pretty. I think I had a lot higher hopes for Zero Dark Thirty than the two of you, but.
And then I was the one who walked away loving Zero Dark Thirty.
But no, this was the movie.
In what world?
This was the movie that made Christopher Nolan my favorite director.
Yes, and it stunned the crowd. I just remember having this feeling of, what did I just experience as a moviegoer? Like,
somebody threw their popcorn down on the ground behind us.
Yeah, somebody threw their popcorn, stormed out.
Afraid to go to sleep. I was like, am I already asleep? I don't know. I don't even know.
And that's what I love. It just makes you think.
This is a list that we need to do. Top five movies you wish you could see again for the first time.
Oh my god.
Because that is one of seeing that movie for the first time was one of the best experiences that I've ever had.
Oh yeah. That's my number one for that list too, so.
Cool.
Cool, so around the horn real quick. Honorable mention for me for 70s. I gotta go with A New Hope, Star Wars.
Come back to me.
I didn't see that one.
You know what? I'm gonna go with A Clockwork Orange for the 70s.
Yeah! Trippy movie.
It is.
My top three for the 70s were Jaws, The Godfather, and A New Hope. My fourth would have been Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
So.
I kind of want to say Annie Hall, but really, I think honestly, a movie that I just enjoy love is Rocky, and it needs to be mentioned.
There's no shame.
There's no shame at all. But I'm saying, like, I want to say, like, I feel like we need to say Rocky, and I love Rocky.
I don't want to be the guy who's like, Rocky was a great movie. I don't
want to
be that guy.
No. But
I'm going to say the unpopular.
But Rocky sort of like changed. Movies.
Every bit of
sports
it is.
Movies, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So anyway, so Rocky, we're not going to get into that.
Okay.
80s.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Classic.
Say Anything.
Like it.
I'm going to go Stand By Me.
Good stuff.
I thought Zach was going to go with The Shining in his number one, so mine, and I was going to go with this, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, that was 80s,
See, Shining was right there.
Yeah.
But I was like, I hope Colby does it. But then
I knew one of us would take it.
When I got here tonight, Zach asked me what mine was, and when I told him Blade Runner, his also at that time was Blade Runner.
Yeah, I had to change.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So, 90s, actually, it was already mentioned. Honorable mention for me, though, Pulp Fiction.
Classic.
There were so many. That was my hardest decade.
Yeah, it was, because the 90s are, that's my favorite decade of films, I think.
90s, we got to give it to the beginning of Pixar with Toy Story, and another shout out to another one I love so much that we call The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That
was a game changer for me when I saw it.
Yes. I'm going The Fugitive.
Fugitive. Hmm. I had that in my...
It's a perfect thriller. I think I love it.
I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah.
I don't.
We want to search every house. Dog house. Waffle house.
I love that. Usual Suspects, Sling Blade, Silence of the Lambs were the three I had under Forrest Gump.
Three great. God, I love those movies.
All right, 2000s. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not used to you. I'm sorry. I don't see Mormons.
I'm here. I exist. Okay. 2000. Honorable mention would have to be Donnie Darko.
Very good. One that we have talked about quite a bit. That's a boat favorite.
I have two from the 2000s that almost made it, and those would be a film that I might have mentioned before called Juno, and another one I might have mentioned before called Slumdog Millionaire. Who I love from the 2000s.
Alright, I'm actually going to mention three from the 2000s.
That's me too.
And they are Sweeney Todd.
Ooh, yes. Speaking my language.
I like that.
Inglourious Bad Words. And Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yeah, only the first one.
That made it all the way to my top.
It was.
It was such a good movie.
It did spark a not only a franchise, but there was a lot of Johnny Depp songs. But then you started getting a lot of movies that were trying to be.
Yeah, they failed, but they sure tried.
But for the next 8 years after that, you got movies that were trying to recapture the magic.
I think Lone Ranger ended up ending that trend. Not saying it was bad, I didn't see it, but
it was terrible. You can say it's bad.
I liked Johnny Depp,
but good gracious.
Go ahead.
2000s, my bottom three, Shooter. Yes. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have said.
That's your favorite one?
Yes. Remember, we've had this discussion.
Your Fellowship, Two Towers, I Am Return of the King.
Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises.
It's true. It's pure wish fulfillment. It's pure wish fulfillment.
And my third was, it was Spider-Man.
Also, I like
I left closers. Out Secret Window.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
Another Johnny Depp.
Fantastic.
Okay, 2010's honorable mention, little short movie called Moonrise Kingdom.
Really?
It was.
Really?
I didn't see it. I just didn't think it would be like.
I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was really interesting.
That's what you're going with?
That's your life. A random choice. Like, you can do it. Okay, now I'm trying to think really quickly because mine was so obviously between these two. But if I had to throw in one more. Gravity. Gravity. Yes, Gravity.
Yeah,
I had expected that to be your 2010.
Yeah, for me, I was obsessed with that film. Still am.
I've got two. Well, I had three, but Colby did Inception. So I've got two now, and they are Drive. Star Ryan Gosling. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Colby, you have got to watch Drive. Have you seen Drive?
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Locke?
Not yet. Tom Hardy.
I've seen Locke.
I will watch Locke.
Legit.
But my other one is Shutter Island.
My bottom three. Shutter Island.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows 2.
Yep.
End of watch.
If I had to throw in one more for the 2010s that I had actually thought about earlier, weirdly enough, just because it was a game changer, the Hunger Games trilogy, or all of those. I think they're actually fantastic movies. When you sit down and view them solely as films, they're fantastic films.
God, that
I also considered The Book of Eli for the 2010s.
Really?
It was not a game changer.
No, I changed my number one. It was The Amazing Spider-Man.
I just thought, How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
2010.
I haven't watched it yet. I'll take your word for it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh!
As a champion of cartoons, I did not like it quite enough to make.
As a non-champion of cartoons, I'll take your word for
it. I like it a lot.
You're slightly dead.
Second one's better.
Yeah, oh yeah. Second one's much better.
Hey, that could have been a lot longer than it was.
How and we'll end with that. Four. What, we have five choices for each? So 20 different movies we're
hey
talking
guys,
about at
guess
length.
What? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Bye.
Peace.
You stay classy, boat listeners.